Hebrews chapter 13. Am I on? Hebrews chapter 13. The Bible says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Pastor Walsh didn't ask me to preach this sermon. He asked me to preach. He asked me to preach tonight, but he didn't give any specific direction. He trusted the Holy Spirit of God to lay on my heart what we need tonight. And I really believe that this passage and this simple challenge we need. We have a man of God who's led this church, put a vision from the Word of God, who's spoken to you the Word of God, and simply tonight I want to challenge you to follow His faith. Now, follow your pastor. That's a good one, and it's one this church is really good at. And I think you say, let's follow your pastor. Amen. But this verse would be really easy to follow, to obey, if the verse simply said, remember them who have the rule over you. By the way, there was not a, you don't find the word leadership, and often we use kind of nicer terms. Like it's simply someone that's leading us, we just say they have the rule over us. We just simply, he's in charge. And again, we're definitely talking of a spiritual context because it says, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, there are scriptural commands to follow secular authorities and stuff, but that's definitely not what it's talking about here based on the context. It's talking about spiritual leadership, the leadership that God put in our church. And it says, remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. And if this verse said, remember them whose program follow, it'd be pretty easy. You'd simply, what's the program? What's on the schedule? We'd open up to this page right here and say, okay, we've got Seasoned Saints February 20th. We've got Christians Workers Week. Look at that, there's a program. We've got the plan that we open up the church calendar. It'd be pretty easy simply. And there's a lot of churches who do a great job, and I think our church does a great job of following the program that our pastor has put out for us to follow. That's not what the verse says. This verse would be pretty easy to follow, to obey, if the verse said, whose instructions follow. I just listen to what the pastor says. Hey, make sure you do this. Make sure you're nice to each other on the way out, and don't go gambling away all your money. Be faithful to your spouse. I mean, these are pretty straightforward instructions. We could just simply follow the instructions of our pastor, and that'd be pretty easy, straightforward. And a lot of churches do a great job at that. Our church does a great job at that. This verse would be easy if it simply said, "Whose plan follow?" And our pastor has a plan for what we're going to do this year and next year and where we're going as a church, and here's our budget, and the deacons have worked really hard to get this budget together. Here's what we're going to do. Here's where we're going to spend our resources. Here's our plan going forward for this church, the calendar for the year, and we absolutely, it's very important that we have a cohesive leadership in the church, that we're all on the same page, that we all follow the same plan. We've got a plan. Let's follow it. That's important for us as a church. That's pretty straightforward. That's pretty easy. And there's churches all across this nation who do a great job of following their pastor. But to be honest, I think it's very rare to find a church that follows their pastor's faith. We all want a pastor who really believes God can do something great in this place. I think you ask any church, anywhere, no matter how backslidden, do you want your preacher to believe what he's saying is true? Of course, yeah. We don't want a preacher to sit up there, all right, open your Bible and just, okay, here, what does it say here? Okay, da, 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 da. If you have a pastor with no spirit, no, has not convinced, has no passion, nobody's going to want to go to that church. If you have a pastor that has no idea what are we doing next church? I don't know. We're just going to keep the doors open. Hope some people show up next week. I don't know. We don't really have any calendar for this next year. We'll just, we'll see what happens. No one wants to follow that pastor. Honestly, every church, we should try to find a new pastor, one that really kind of believes in this thing. Every one of us wants a pastor who's totally convinced God is going to do something great in and through this church. And sadly, many Christians are content with their pastor having that faith. We're content with our pastor having a vision for where this church is going. Content with a man of God, a pastor, a leader. Hey, he's got an idea of who we're going to reach, what we're going to do next. I'm glad he's got that vision, that faith, that confidence, and he's all excited. He's all motivated about it. He's preaching about it. That was really good. But the verse here says, whose faith follow. Are you convinced God will do something through this church? Are you convinced that we can reach the world for Christ? Are you convinced that we can reach families in our community and change their direction? Are you convinced that when we have Friend Day, people are going to come, hear the Word of God, and get saved? Your pastor has that faith. He's convinced of it, or he would not put it on the calendar. He wouldn't go through the word. We're going to have a sermon, a message that will have the gospel in it passionately. And we're all glad for that. Oh, yeah, that'll be great. It'll be great to come and sit and listen to a good sermon and maybe see some people. But are you following that faith? Or are you just content with someone else having that faith? And then I will follow him, but that's not the same. All through the scriptures, example after example of people who followed a man of God but didn't follow that man of God's faith. The children of Israel followed Moses. They followed him through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, all the way to the promised land. When he said stop, they stopped. When he said go, they packed up their tents and went. They followed that man of God, and Moses had faith. He trusted God would see them through, would bring them into the promised land, would fulfill his promises, would take care of them and not abandon them in the wilderness. They followed Moses. Moses had faith, but they didn't have Moses' faith. When they stood there, when they got to the promised land, and they sent in those 12 spies, and 10 came back with a bad report, of all those people, all of them followed, thousands, a huge multitude, an entire nation followed Moses, but only two followed his faith. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that said, hey, I'm not just going to follow your commands, your instructions, your plan, your agenda, and be thankful for the fact that you have faith, but I'm going to follow your faith. I'm also convinced that God is going to bring us into this land and defeat these giants and give us victory and give us a land flowing with milk and honey for generations to come. Joshua and Caleb were convinced of that too. Two out of thousands. That's why I say I'm convinced that all across America there are a lot of good churches doing great things for God, following a pastor who has faith in God, and because of that pastor's faith, they're seeing God do great things. But rare indeed is the church where it's not just that pastor's faith, but they go ahead and step into that faith themselves. And it's not just the pastor who has a vision for what God is going to do in this place, but everyone sitting in the pews is fully convinced that God will do something great and God will use this church in a powerful way to change this nation, this community, for generations to come. Jesus' own apostles, I mean, not just the masses that came just to see the show, but I mean his 12 apostles, the ones he picked. They followed him everywhere. They were his disciples. And when he said, let's go across let's get in a boat and go across the lake, they jumped in the boat and they followed. They were excited about all the miracles that Jesus was doing by faith, and they were okay with the faith, Jesus' faith leading them, and they were seeing great things happening. And so here they jumped in the boat and they went across the sea. They weren't halfway across the sea before Jesus was rebuking them, O ye of little faith. They saw the storm, and it was pretty obvious that although they followed Jesus, they didn't follow his faith. And the same thing with other of his disciples. For example, the sister of Lazarus. Lazarus dies. And he's dead and he's buried. And his sister, says, who would follow Jesus anywhere, says to Jesus, oh, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus says he'll live again. And they come to the tomb. And Jesus says, open the tomb. And she says, oh, by this time he stinketh. You open that. Hold on. Said I not unto thee, if thou shouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. She was all excited about the things, that the miracles being done by faith. And she would follow Jesus anywhere. But she wasn't following his faith. She didn't have the faith to think, boy, if we move that stone, I will see my brother walk right out of that tomb because Jesus says he'll live. The Bible says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Whose faith follow. Three things to consider about the faith of the man of God God has put over this church. Consider the evidence of his faith. Consider the evidence of his faith. Now, we're in Hebrews chapter 13. Now, Hebrews, like many of the books in the New Testament, especially a lot of the books Paul wrote, and this is why I kind of suspect Paul probably wrote Hebrews. It's not a name given at the start. But like the book of Romans, like many of the other books, there's a long section through the whole first part of the book is making an argument dealing with one particular issue, one doctrinal truth, building a very, very strong doctrinal case dealing with the truth and showing scriptural evidence after evidence. But after dealing with the doctrinal truth, there's a section at the end, just like in the book of Romans and so forth, where there's a list of practical applications. Verse by verse, each verse almost being a different topic, dealing with, okay, now that you know this huge truth and we've dealt with it with all this detail, walking through the scriptures and understanding this truth, now here's how we should live. Now this verse is in that section of the book of Hebrews. It's in chapter 13 where there's a whole lot of different warnings, being warnings about false teachers, marriage and is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, talking about marriage. And in verse 2, remember them who are in bonds. Here's people that are put in bonds because of their faith. So there's a whole bunch of different issues, each verse almost dealing with a different issue here. And one of the applications to the truth of the book of Hebrews is the verse we've just read. So let's go back a few pages to the main argument in Hebrews chapter 11. He's talking about following whose faith follow. Decide, I'm not just content with following a man of God who trusts God. I am going to trust God myself. I said, number one, consider the evidence of his faith. Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's something good I'm waiting for in the future. I don't have any of it right now. What I have right now in my hands is faith. I have not yet seen it. The thing about considering the evidence of his faith is, letter A, it's not based on the visible. If you're going to follow the faith of a man of God, you have to understand that is not following things that you can see. There's plenty of people who want to come. You want to come to a church and, hey, look, it's easy to say, hey, I want to be a member of this church. Look around. It's got nice pews. It's got working air conditioning, new ones. They're great. Look at this church. People are getting saved. People are coming to the church. Oh, we're not financially insolvent. We've got a budget and money in the bank, and we're doing things well, and it's well run, and there's a deacon board making sure things are done decently and in order, and there's Sunday school, and it's organized, and there's a bus ministry, and there's all these ministries, and we're reaching kids, and we have an addictions program. Boy, this is a great church based on what I can see. I want to be a member of this church. Based on what I can see, what's happened in the last 15 so years in this church. Boy, I want to be a member of this church. I want to follow that man of God based on what I can see. It looks great. I mean, this is sure. I want to be, but that's not what I'm challenging you to do tonight, to say, hey, look around. This is great. I want to be a member of this church. But rather to say this, well, beyond that, I want to take the next step and not look what God has done in this place, but look forward at what God is about to do in this place. What motivates your pastor to get up here and put this theme up on the wall and preach these sermons and put these things on the calendar isn't what we've done before. Because to be honest, what we've done up to this point is great, and any pastor who just wants a job as a pastor will be very comfortable just staying right where we're at right now. I mean, look at this. Enough money comes in to pay the salary. We have things organized. The electricity is paid. I mean, this is great. This will be comfortable. Pastor Walsh could just put it into neutral and just kind of cruise, and he'd be comfortable and, you know, just come every day, you know, get up here, preach whatever he wants to preach, and there we go. The nice, easy, but he's not. Instead, he's decided, oh, I want to see what God is doing in the future, and he's leading us by faith. And my challenge is you to follow that faith. Not just to wait till you see something happening and say, I'm going to jump on board, this looks fun. But to say, what isn't happening that could be happening for Christ? I'm going to jump on that out of faith, not sight. Look at our calendar. Does our pastor really believe that we can have revival here in this community? If you don't know that, you really haven't been paying attention the last several months, the last 6 months, or however long it's been. As we've had message after message leading up to a great revival meeting where we planned, we prepared, we came, and there was a preacher here that came and preached God's word, and we sought the Lord. And I think everyone wants to be a part of a church where the pastor really believes in revival, and we have good preachers in, and we have a great revival meetings. But here's the question. Are you convinced that we can have revival, a revival that doesn't just help the few people sitting in the pew, but can impact our community and our families for generations to come? Your pastor's convinced that's possible. Not only possible, but God wants to do it. But a lot of people will come just, oh, I'm glad the pastor believes in that. That's good. That's good. You know, he gives him fire when he preaches. That's fantastic. But am I convinced that God's going to do that? Am I following that faith? We say, well, I'm glad our pastor believes in the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world. Oh, that's really important. A pastor ought to believe in that, ought to believe in soul winning, going out, telling the lost that I'm glad we have all this stuff on. You notice there's a calendar, and it's coming up. There's a missions conference, March 29th. We haven't done that before, like a missions conference, right? Am I right? We haven't done missions conference. I've been in other churches that have had them. Boy, we support lots of missionaries, and they're out there winning souls right now. We're making a difference. We have been making a difference. Why put all this work into doing something new we haven't done before, having a special meeting where you come extra nights during the week to focus on missions? Because our pastor believes we really can do exactly what God said we should do and reach the world for Christ. The question is, do you believe it? Are you going to follow that faith at the end of March? Are you going to follow that faith? Are you? I'm so glad we have this. This is great. I'm so glad that my pastor has faith and is trusting God to do something great here. Or am I saying, no, I really believe. Not just that we can win a few, but we can reach the world. We can become one of the great missionary sending churches in history. Just by trusting God and giving and getting behind these missionaries and praying for them. And oh, that's this big talk words, that's big fluffy. I mean, it'd be great. You know, we're supposed to give some to missions. I'm glad the pastor really, are you going to follow his faith? We really can reach the lost. Those in countries never hearing the gospel, what about reaching our Jerusalem? Are you willing to follow your pastor? I'm not asking, are you willing to follow your pastor? Hey, I'm glad I'm gonna put some money in the offering to pay for some buses so we can reach some people. This is great. I'm glad you do that. That's important. Do that. But I want to challenge you to consider for a moment, not just deciding I'll follow the direction of someone who trusts God, but I myself will trust God to do something great. I will trust God to reach our Jerusalem, that we really can make an enormous impact right here in York County. And that the thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands in our community that have never really heard a clear presentation of the gospel will hear it, and thousands will respond and get saved. But that's not something I've seen happen in this church. Here's the safe bet. The safe bet is that the church will keep growing at about the percentage it's been growing. Our Christian school, it's been adding a few each year, and it'll keep growing. And we've been getting new people in, and that's a safe bet. As a safe bet, we'll continue to balance our budget. Tithes will keep coming in. We'll keep going. Pastor will keep knocking on doors. More people will be getting saved, and we'll keep running buses and making an impact. And that's a pretty safe bet. What I'm asking you to do is to put your faith in something you've never seen happen in this church ever and get behind that vision. Not a vision for what has been, but the evidence of things not seen. That's faith. It's not based on the visible, it is based on the promise of Scripture. What faith should we follow? It's pretty easy. It's posted up on the wall. And we're really glad that we have a pastor that'll put Bible verses on the wall, but do we read them? The Lord is not willing that any should perish. Oh, I'm so glad our pastor preaches that. I'm glad we have, that's a good Bible verse. I'm glad it's up on the wall. But if you were following your pastor's faith, you would look at that verse and realize, I have a neighbor, and God's not willing that he should perish. So I'm going to grab that invite. I'm going to invite him to come. I'm going to go. Are you convinced that God is not willing that any should perish? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You absolutely want a preacher that believes that the gospel is the power of God. A preacher that doesn't believe that is the most Myra Milquetoast boring preacher you've ever heard, okay? Here's the gospel. I don't know what it's going to do, but here it is. I'll say it again. Boy, you're so glad you have a preacher that... But do you believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation? Are you getting that vision? Not just, I'm glad I'm going to follow, I'm glad my pastor has that vision, but I trust God to do something with it. That I believe that we can fill every seat in this auditorium. And we'll not even have the space to fit. Maybe we'll have to go to multiple services or build a new building. Here's the thing. Have you noticed when you get here Sunday morning? Have you looked out and, let's see, which direction is that? I gotta get my bearings here. There's a field out there, right? It's big and it's empty. And the church owns it. Why does the church own that big, empty field? I mean, it's great to play capture, but we don't even need that much space. I'll give you one reason why the church owns a big, empty field. Faith. When your preacher was called to be the pastor of this church, they had all this land, and it was recommended, why don't we sell it? We don't need this. We've got a nice building here. We've got enough room for the parking lots. We don't need this lot. But God gave your pastor a vision for something much bigger than what we've ever seen. And I'm asking you tonight, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. That's some big faith. Follow it. Why don't you go out there some morning? Say, God, do something more. I'm glad we just built that building and we have got a gymnasium, but we're not there yet. Why don't you go to a half-empty classroom and pray, fill up every one of these seats. Give us some more nursery workers. Let's pack out that nursery. We're going to have to build another wing just to house the nursery for all the young families we're going to reach. Start asking God for that. Your preacher's asking God for that. We need just a few more. Moses needed Joshua and Caleb, and they got the promised land. Just two. How many does this preacher really have who are truly following his faith? And not just following his program, not just following his lead, his instructions, his budget, his plan, you know, his calendar, but his faith. Something big we've never seen. Your preacher truly believes God can do more. There's a lot of gospel preaching churches in this area. I see this glimmer in your pastor's eye that there's something we can impact more than just those sitting right here. As other Christians hear and see what God does through us, they'll be moved to want to preach God as well, and that revival can spread. Or we can do see God do something huge. And we're glad that a pastor has that faith, but do I have that faith? Am I bought into the vision of what God's going to do here? That's so much bigger than just... It's based on the promises of Scriptures. The Bible still says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You're right, you have a preacher that talks about trusting God, but then do you go home and you're fretting over how you're going to pay your finances and not trusting God? Get some of that faith. My people are destroyed for the want of knowledge. We have faith. That faith has been communicated through the Word of God. It's not stuff that your preacher's just made up. I think we should, you know, go and, you know, get a circus tent and have a circus for Jesus. He doesn't just make up random stuff. This is God's plan. This is from the Scriptures. See, these promises, they don't come from just some random book of inspirational quotes. They come from the Word of God. It's based on the leadership of the Spirit. You notice, preachers are a gift to the church in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, the measure and the stature of the fullest of Christ. God's Holy Spirit is leading for us to follow his man. Let's get that faith and seek the Holy Spirit's power ourselves. I'm glad for a Spirit-filled man of God. Amen. If I'm going to follow his faith, I'm going to ask for God's Spirit to lead me too. And not just wait for God's Spirit to lead my pastor and get something. I'm going to get on that vision. I'm going to see that from God. So, consider the evidence of his faith. Number two, consider the end of his faith. The verse says this, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, their lifestyle, what they're telling you to live. Live this way, consider how that ends. Of course, the end is given, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Consider the end of his faith just for a moment, picture what it would look like if God really does keep the promises that you've been hearing from this pulpit. Every Sunday you come and hear the promises of God preached from the Word of God from this pulpit. Just picture it for a second. Are you really convinced they're going to? Picture what it will actually look like in the end when God keeps all of those promises. Think of what it would look like for your family. Are you really convinced God can put broken marriages back together? Your pastor is. Your pastor asked me to fly all the way from California, asked me to come here to help lead a couples ministry, to try to help some marriages, to help some young couples get started. Why? He's convinced that God, through faith, really can keep couples together in a day when they say all the marriages are ending divorce. Are you convinced of that? Are you convinced that God can do great things through your family, through your kids? Your pastor is. We have a Wednesday night program where the kids learn the Word of God and really try to memorize verses and stuff. Why? We're convinced that God is going to do something great through our children. Are you? What does it mean for our community? What does it look like, a community that doesn't have God's word, like in Deuteronomy? For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding them. Oh, that they were wise and understood this, that they would consider their later end. Your pastor is convinced if we don't turn to God, God will bring judgment on our nation, on our community. You hear the sermons, you hear sermon after sermon. Look where things are going. Look at the sin in our community. We've got to turn things around. We've got to get out there. Oh, I'm glad. Preacher. Yeah, those guys got to turn around. But am I convinced that God really can solve the problems? You look at the news and you hear about the crime and you hear about the broken families and the things that are happening and you see it in our community all around and you see a nation and a community turning away from God and the issues and the struggle. Can God really fix that? Well, your pastor is convinced that God can. Are you? He's convinced enough to put it on the schedule. Look at this. Here we go. Each one, reach one Sunday. You know why that's on the schedule? Because your pastor is convinced that every single one of you can reach someone else with the gospel. Every one of you. Not someone else, not the person sitting in the pew in front of you or behind you or next to you. We got this Sunday plan. We were just practicing in the choir. Each one, win one. It's a great song we're singing. Words and Music by Sterling E. Walsh, Jr. Look at this, the chorus. Each one, reach one. In the Holy Spirit's power. Each one, win one. Go bring the lost to Him. A bride for Christ we win. This is our call, so give Him your all. Each one, reach one. Are you glad that our pastor can write some great music? Yeah, I am. But you know, our pastor believes those words. Are you convinced if I give him my all, I can go reach one? Or are you just going to come and, oh, that was a great sermon. That was a great music. That was I'm excited. Yeah, that looks like our church is doing something exciting again. Or you say, I really think God can use us. If each person, what happened if in the month of March, every single person in this room right now won someone else to Christ? Think of the impact just that one month would have on our community. Every single person, that means a young person that comes on the bus reaches their friend for Christ. That means someone that's been coming to church for years and that maybe someone else has to drive them here. They're not able to drive themselves. But they're going to reach someone where they're at. And you, in your neighborhood, in your work, wherever it is, you're going to win one. Well, I'm glad the pastor believes in that. But do you? Consider the evidence of your faith. Consider the end of his faith. What's the end state for the world? And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe that? We've got a missions conference scheduled. We've got missionaries that we give money to every month, and I'm glad our church believes that. Do you believe that? Are you convinced that God wants to reach everyone? Go ye unto all the world. Are you looking forward to with anticipation? Wow, I can't wait to meet some of those missionaries. And boy, they're going to go out. They're going to reach so many people. I can't wait to hear the report as Pastor Gaskell had a read from the missionary, how many people got saved. Because I'm convinced that what we're doing for world evangelization will make a difference. Or you're like, I'm glad pastor believes in that. I'll put my bit into the offering just because, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. But are you following faith? Are you considering the end? What is going to happen if we really trust in God, in faith? And I mean, I think about it. I'm working on some projects that I was working on painting. I'm going to paint. I haven't built the projects yet, but there's projects I'm doing for my wife, a mailbox stand, and we want to paint it and stuff. So I went to the store, and I got this can. This is not paint. This is primer. And the idea of primer here is that you don't see it. It goes on your piece of wood. And if you just want something to look good right now, you just get some paint and put it on it. It really won't make a difference what you do ahead of time. If you want to say something look painted new, someone who's just trying to get a quick sale on a house or something, they just throw some paint up over whatever's there, however much dirt, oil, doesn't matter. You just put some paint on it. Hey, it looks great. It'll look great for a little while. But I care how if I'm going to paint the base for my mailbox, and I'm going to paint it, and I just go, there's the wood, there's kind of a pressure treated wood here, some other wood with some old varnish on it. Here, I got something, and I'm going to just put some paint on it. It'll look great for a little while, but, you know, 2 years from now, it won't look that good. If I consider the end, where this is leading, I'm going to do something very different. I'm going to maybe sand it first, clean off the oil, clean it off, and I'm going to put this primer on that allows excellent adhesion, a mildew-resistant finish. What this does is it allows that paint to stick to whatever you've got. So you have some old piece of furniture, you put this on first, then the paint sticks and it'll stay. And it won't crack off and peel. If I don't care about the end state, I'll just throw the paint on. It looks good now. Here's the question. Are you glad that our church looks good right now? Or are you considering the end of this conversation? Are you looking forward in faith? Where will this church be 10 years from now? What am I trusting God to do then? What will this church look like after I'm gone and it's the next generation leading this church? Am I following the pastor's faith? Finally, in conclusion, consider the object of his faith. Here's all it says in the next verse. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not simple wishful thinking. God's going to do something great with his church. Well, I'm glad you think so, Pastor. Woohoo. Where does that faith come from? Where is that confidence that God is going to actually let us reach people? That as we go out and we send missionaries, they'll actually convince the heathen in other lands to turn from the religion they've grown up in and trust in Jesus Christ. That's a long ask. How would we ever be confident in that? How would we be confident that if we go out and we knock doors and we invite people, they'd come, and people who have been content in their beliefs their entire life will, sitting in one of these pews, repent of what they've believed up till now and say, I believe in Jesus Christ and give their life. That takes a lot of faith. Why are we convinced of that? Because of the object of our faith, not because of the pastor who has that faith. It has nothing to do with pastor in the end. It is, what is the object of that faith? If you're going to follow his faith, look at where that faith is pointing. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Amy got me this nice little Valentine's gift. It's not jewelry or roses. This is the kind of Valentine's gift that I would like, because she knows me. It's a piece of metal. It's a very small metal square. You say, that is the strangest Valentine's gift ever. Well, the whole idea of Valentine's Day, you love someone, talked about this in Family of Faith this morning, you didn't know what they specifically like. And this I had need of. It's a tiny, very precise metal square, 80 by 50 millimeters. It's really tiny. Now, I had a square in my wood shop, a big old carpenter square. It's not that precise, and it's really large. But I have this track saw I'm trying to use to make some furniture for Amy's, put up some shelves and stuff. And the thing is, this is the perfect thing to make sure that blade is exactly 90 degrees on that saw. I had a cheap tri-square thing that I got from Walmart for $4, and I don't trust it. I don't trust that it was accurate when I first bought it. I don't trust that it's accurate now. And that plastic cheap tri-square I got from Walmart, I don't trust that it'll be accurate in the future. This square, as far as I know, it's accurate now. I measured it. It was machined precisely, and it's solid metal. There's no plastic on this. Why? Because I want this square to be 90 degrees yesterday, today, and for as long as I have it, at least. Not forever. It's not going to last forever, but hopefully for a while. I want, every time, I want to make sure my saw is going to cut straight. Why? If I use this standard to make my saw straight 90 degrees, then every board that I cut will be nice 90 degrees. And then when I take a bunch of boards and glue them all together, they'll perfectly join together and I'll have a solid piece of furniture that will last. I need an unchanging standard that needs to be the same every single time. This is not some new hype, some new movement, some exciting new thing. This is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is not some, our crazy pastor has all these delusions of grandeur. No. What he has is faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. It's the same God who parted the Red Seas. Why did the children of Israel have so much problem? They forgot the God they had yesterday. They forgot the God that parted the Red Seas and the Jordan River and destroyed the Egyptians and destroyed the people of the land, allowed them to conquer the land. And we were just going over this in Bible class with the students in the school. And then Joshua, they followed God all the days of Joshua. Joshua and the elders that were with him died, and they went every man after his own way. God had done those miracles, but after it got to the point where I didn't see God do those miracles, it's like he didn't do them. Oh, that was the God back then. I got news for you, it's the same God. Right. It's the same God with the same power. It wasn't in Moses' generation God had power, in our generation he doesn't. The same God that when Peter preached on Pentecost, thousands turned to God. It's the same God we have today. He hasn't changed. It's Jesus Christ. The same Jesus Christ who spoke and Lazarus came forth. The same Jesus Christ who spoke with his word and the seas were stilled. the same Jesus Christ, spoke, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Oh, I'm glad Pastor preaches that, but do you believe it? Are you following that faith, the faith that is pointed at Jesus Christ, the same power he's always had, he has, there it is, he's the same today. The Great Commission, Matthew 28 ends with this, "And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." It ends there, amen, that's it. God is with us. Guess what? The world hasn't ended yet. He's still with us today. He's still with us just as much as he was with Peter, just as much as he was with Paul. He's with us today. I say, well, I don't see all these big flashy miracles. Well, we don't need those signs. We have the Word of God. And by the way, we've got this today. The same Word of God that still had the power to save then, it has the power to save today. Jesus Christ. What, if we're going to follow faith and not just say, I'm glad there's some leadership that has a vision, but I really am going to look beyond what is happening now in this church and see what God is about to do next in this church. Things beyond, the world will just laugh at us if we were to tell them what we trust God to do in here, but we need a few more people trusting God. We need a few more people to get a bigger vision for this church and follow that faith, not just follow the man. The object of the faith, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, he's the same tomorrow. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy to them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Do you believe it? That 1,000 generations from now, our God will keep his promises. It hasn't weakened one tiny bit. What will it look like 1,000 years from now? What impact will this church have? So many Christians are content, well, this is a nice church to be a member of right now. If that ever changes, I'll move on down the road and find another church that, oh, it's a nice place to be. But you need to ask yourself, where has God called you to? Where does God want to use you? And decide, God, are you going to do a great work in this place? If you're not convinced of it, why are you here? If you don't have faith that God can do something, and I ask you not just to follow, but to follow, he'll still be the same God tomorrow. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Are you trusting God for that exceeding abundantly above what we can ask and think? We can ask for God to bless the offering. We can ask that God bring a visitor to church on Sunday. But what God wants to do with this place, get this, I'm really convinced. As scary as pastor's vision is for this church, and I've heard just little, I can tell you what, he's seeing God do something he is afraid to share with you, because it would scare you all away. I'm convinced God wants to do more. Follow your pastor's faith, but I'm convinced that God is going to do more than anything this pastor can imagine. And we can imagine all night long what God could do with this place. What God could do with our families. That little one sitting next to you. Who will God raise him up to be? How many churches will he start? How many lost souls will she share the gospel with? More than you can imagine. I don't think years ago when there was a bus worker sitting next to Amy, just coming on the bus, that they would imagine that this Sunday she'd be sitting next to a girl on the bus that came on the bus here and sharing the gospel and she would get saved. I don't think they even got that far in their thinking. Above all that, are you following that faith? There's evidence behind it. You can't see it now. It's not what we're looking at right now in this church. Trusting God to do something greater, further. Consider the end. What will it look like? If God really does everything he said in this Bible, and he will. If we start acting right now in faith that he really will keep his promise and do something great in this place, how will that change our hearts and our behavior here at this church? Will we give it like the song I read about, our soul-winning song here? Each one can reach one? Can each one of us really? Yes. Not just that person over there, and Pastor Gaskell can reach one, and Pastor Nathan, he can reach a couple of teenagers, and no, I can reach one. So remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Have you been coming to this church content to follow your pastor, content to follow the program that was going on here, and you've never really made a deep decision to follow that faith? And you never really sat down and asked God, convince me of what you're going to do in this place beyond that which I can see right now. And I'm not just going to be content as long as things are going good. I'm going to enjoy this church, what I can see. But I'm going to trust God to do something bigger and greater than I've ever seen God do. This March, more people saved than we can imagine. A revival that changed. That's crazy talk. Your pastor believes it. Are you going to follow his faith? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help me to follow the faith of the man of God that you've chosen to lead this church. Lord, help me not to be content with just coming and participating, waiting to see, well, let's see what happens. Let's see if anyone gets saved from that. Let's see if that program works. So let's see if that is worth our time. Lord, help me to be truly convinced that you're going to do a great work in the vision that you've put in the heart of our pastor. I want to follow that faith.